Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started. A new approach to addiction care. Over the past couple of years, we have seen a dramatic increase in drug overdose deaths. The opioid epidemic, along with the new threat of fentanyl-laced drugs, has put a major spotlight on drug use and abuse all over the world, along with the apparent lack of effective support systems in a lot of places. Canada has implemented a new program known as Safe Supply to help with addiction care. This controversial addiction care does not have widespread support, especially in the U.S. However, in Canada, it has had meaningful impact on those who struggle with drug addiction.
The program is operated by a private company called Recovery Care and is part of an increasing number of healthcare services across Canada that are tackling this overdose crisis from a different direction. The goal of Safe Supply is harm reduction. All right, that's good. We like that. Mm-hmm. This program seeks to reduce the amount of drug deaths by helping people get high more safely, not by ending illicit drug use. Now that I appreciate, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're never going to make it go away. So at least help people get what it is that they want. It's like my parents, you know, I came up at a different age. You know, drinking was pretty much 18 as I was growing up, and it got shifted to 21, right? Mm-hmm. And so my parents let us drink when we were younger in the house. You know, they weren't getting us drunk or encouraging us to drink, but they were developing a healthy relationships with alcohol. Like it was just, how do you develop a relationship with alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think that to a large degree, if you make it illicit, people are going to react one way toward that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I love what they're doing, and I know where this story's going, but I just do want to say that I love the idea of helping people get high safely, but not ending the illicit use of it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so back to this. So the program prescribes safe amounts of clean drugs for active drug users. For example, one program participant who has been addicted to methamphetamines for over a decade now receives stable doses of Ritalin prescribed by a doctor from Safe Supply. This way, his drug use is monitored. He's not getting high off of street drugs, which have a high probability of being laced with dangerous drugs such as fentanyl. And this individual says that since joining Safe Supply, his drug use has declined substantially, and that the program saved his life. Now, I don't see what's controversial about that, right?
And I also don't understand why it's a problem here in the U.S. when we have clean works programs. Like, we literally had a program to where they're giving out clean needles to those who are using drugs so as to not to spread diseases and HIV and all of that. Like, so I don't understand why this would be controversial. This program would be controversial when we've been doing harm reduction programming before.
Right.
I don't understand it.
Absolutely.
So the majority of addiction treatment in the United States and Canada focused on drug abstinence. However, in both countries, tens of millions of people still actively use drugs, and many are not able or ready to quit immediately. And recently, street drugs have grown increasingly more dangerous. Many illicit opioids and stimulants are now laced with fentanyl and other deadly chemicals. In North America, drug deaths have roughly doubled over the past 5 years, with a record number of overdose deaths occurring last year. Many critics are saying that focusing addiction care on those who are ready or willing to quit using is leaving huge numbers of active users very vulnerable. Forcing abstinence on people does not work. Wow, we can say that in a lot of instances, right?
Yes, indeed.
Forcing abstinence on people does not work effectively, according to numerous studies.
Safe Supply offers a chance for active drug users to receive addiction care without being forced into abstinence. This program is backed by the Canadian government, and they have reported that it is saving people's lives. Safe Supply programs also offer its patients access to other health care, such as housing and counseling. The idea behind harm reduction and Safe Supply is simple. According to an addiction program director, there is no recovery if you're dead. Folic acid may help decrease suicides. The number of suicides in America has been increasing. That, of course, is very unfortunate. During the pandemic, it hit an all-time high with 12.2 million Americans seriously considering suicide. Wow. And 3.2 million planning a suicide attempt, with 1.2 million actually making an attempt, and 47,646 people ending up dying. Because of the increasing incidence of suicides, there has been an additional research focused on its causes as well as possible prevention techniques. A recent study investigated taking folic acid supplements in relation to suicide attempts, and it was determined that people with a folic acid prescription experienced a 44% decrease in suicide events.
Folic acid is a type of B vitamin known as vitamin B9. This nutrient is present in many healthy foods, such as spinach, greens, nuts, beans, and oranges. The vitamin can provide a variety of health benefits. It contributes, for instance, to the formation of various neurotransmitters, such as serotonin, norepinephrine, and BDNF, or brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Neurotrophics are known to assist the brain in operating at its optimal efficiency. Folic acid is also inexpensive, and there are no significant side effects, so these results are promising.
In order to assess the possibility that folic acid B9 lowers suicide, the researchers performed a blind study, also using vitamin B12 as a negative control. Vitamin B12 showed no significant effects on suicide prevention, whereas folic acid reduced a person's risk almost immediately, and this decrease was only compounded the longer they took it. Wow. During a 24-month follow-up period, taking folic acid was associated with an extra 5% decrease in suicide attempts over that measure during the study.
In order to verify the results of this study, the authors are conducting a large-scale randomized controlled trial looking further at how folic acid might reduce the risk of suicidal thoughts, attempts, and completions. However impressive this research may be, people with thoughts of suicide are encouraged to seek out a mental health professional who is trained in managing suicide and crisis situations. Still, these results do give us cause for hope. With 47,646 suicides that resulted in death last year alone, we're talking about tens of thousands of lives that could be saved if these results are verified. And we can do a better job of getting this inexpensive supplement to the people who need it.
If the results are applicable to those who consider planned suicide attempts, we are talking about millions less people considering suicide and hundreds of thousands fewer people actually planning it. This could be a game changer for a lot of people. We'll definitely be following this story and updating you as new information becomes available. If you or somebody that you know are contemplating suicide, please contact 988. That's 988. We'll connect you with health professionals in English and in Spanish, available 24 hours to talk with you.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.